What is up, everyone? This is Firebro here, coming at you live at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening on Spotify, SoundCloud, or on Anchor, thank you very much for tuning in on those platforms. They're all at Firebro. Actually, it's just on Firebro, and that's it. If you're watching the VODs, it's on Brawlmaster 234. And as always, if you want to listen to this or watch this live when I go, it's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/firebro17. That is twitch.tv/firebro17. All right, so with all that introduction stuff out of the way, and also I have to get my chat popped up here on my phone since I can't really see it. I don't have a dual monitor. Now I can see the chat, so if you want to get involved, you're always encouraged to either comment in the Twitch chat, or even if you're watching it after the broadcast, you can comment on the Anchor podcast, Spotify. Actually, Spotify does not have a commenting system, so never mind about that. SoundCloud or YouTube, because I do upload the VODs on there. If you want to get involved, either right now on Twitch or afterwards, you're more than welcome to. I will respond to those responses. But let's get right into this. Again, with the whole entire Rona situation going on, this Daroni thing, coronavirus going on, still kind of a slow news week for the gaming industry just because everything's kind of at a standstill right now, so not a lot of great news, but it's definitely content. It's better than nothing, and there's still, you know, some content to be talked about, a lot of good stuff on the news this week, mostly just patch notes for Animal Crossing, some awesome sick deals for the eShop, and then Nintendo's getting sued again, which it doesn't really matter, and I'll explain why coming up right now. So let's get into the first news story, which is the new lawsuit seeks to halt Nintendo Switch sales in the US once again. And I'll read this article very briefly. It's actually not that long. It's a couple of paragraphs, not even that long, but let's get right into it. GameVice, the company behind a variety of controller solutions for iPhones, iPads, and other mobile devices, is attempting to sue Nintendo over the Nintendo Switch for a second time. According to Go Nintendo, by the way, this article is from GameSpot.com, GameVice cites similarities between the Nintendo Switch and its own mobile controllers, many of which are also designed around the idea of split controllers that connect to your phone or tablet on either side. The Switch's design is similar, and GameVice claims it infringes on their other patents in the US. It's seeking a legal order to prevent the import of Switch sale consoles from Japan. And the rest just kind of goes through the past, and honestly, this is just another company trying to sue Nintendo for reasons. You know, people are greedy, companies are greedy, people are just inherently greedy people. They're going to sue each other to get money, and this is just another sad attempt from a company trying to sue Nintendo because apparently they stole their idea. Now, I can pull up the device that they're talking about, and I'll be fair, it looks kind of similar, but like whether they should sue Nintendo, I think it's all just like a huge attempt to grab money from the company. But I can show you what it looks like. Obviously, if you're listening to it on the podcast, you're not going to be able to see it. But for all the viewers out there, whether it's live on Twitch or on YouTube, you can see it right now. And let me see if I can pull up some images at this moment. So this is what it looks like. Kind of the same, not really, though. The D-pad, actually, that's not a good picture. Like, I can sort of see it, not really, though. The Joy-Cons, actually, I can pull it up, too. Let me pull my base Switch. I feel like that's the best way to demonstrate my point. The GameVice is way thicker than Nintendo Switches. The Switches is more like oval shaped, more cylinder shaped, more of a rectangular on the more flat on this side, and it's kind of like a rounded on this side. So not really like the same at all. Like similar, I'll give it similar. Like, you know, a lot of companies kind of copied the Switch when it came out, but nothing the same. It's also lacking triggers on the back, I believe, unless there is a back side to it and it does have triggers. I wouldn't doubt that it has triggers, but like that doesn't really matter. Their control sticks, it looks like it's a circle pad. I'm getting actually a bunch of different kind of things, different types. I mean, like similar button layout, I suppose, but like the thumbsticks are more index or concave. Nintendo Switches are the Joy-Cons are more convex. So again, not really the same. And like I've been saying, this isn't the first time Nintendo's been sued over their systems. and actually have a list prepared for everyone on the amount of times Nintendo's been sued. And this is only a few of the many times this company's been sued. I guess I'll start with the IP. This is the most infamous Nintendo lawsuit was in 1984 with the game Donkey Kong, when they got sued over the game Donkey Kong from Universal Studios because Universal Studios thought, hey, Donkey Kong looks like King Kong, so therefore we should sue them because the monkey looks like our monkey, so let's sue them. And I don't know what happened from that lawsuit. I'm pretty sure Universal Studios lost because it's a gorilla doesn't mean that Nintendo copied you. It's an animal. You can't copy, animals can't be copyrighted, and like Donkey Kong is way different than Godzilla, so that's why the lawsuit failed for them. The DS was actually, Nintendo got sued from the DS from John M. Martin for some reason. I guess that was a thing back in the mid-2000s. The guy claimed that his patent had the idea of the foldable system, and Nintendo copied them. He ended up losing the lawsuit. And then for the Wii, since that thing was a giant commercial success, there was four lawsuits, actually. There was iLife, Interlink Electronics, Anescape, and Motiva LLC. Four separate lawsuits. I believe the one that was based off Texas, I'm not sure which one that was, it actually won the lawsuit against Nintendo when it came to Wiimote or whatever it was, motion tracking technology. I think it was last year, maybe like I'm completely talking out of my ass, but I just know it was either 2013 or last year. I'm not even sure why I'm saying 2013, but I just knew it was at one of those two time periods that they actually reversed the decision. So the Texas-based company actually lost the lawsuit against Nintendo. So no one won from those lawsuits from the Wii. And then the last one was from the Wii U, when it was Philips, surprisingly, the same company that made helped make the CDI for Nintendo, sued Nintendo for the Wii U because the gamepad looked really similar to their devices, and they ended up, and I don't think either of them lost. It was just a settlement because, you know, legal stuff is very expensive. But that's kind of the timeline, and I guess the point I'm trying to make is that Nintendo's not going anywhere. This is a sensationalist article saying that, hey, this company's going to sue Nintendo, and because of that, Nintendo Switch sales are not going to ever... The Switch is not coming to the U.S. again because of this lawsuit. That's not happening at all. That's not a sensationalist bullcrap. The Switch isn't going anywhere, especially in the United States. This company's just trying to grab some money, and at the end of the day, the worst thing that will happen for the Nintendo Switch or Nintendo as a company is that there'll be a settlement, and Nintendo will pay a few million dollars if they find themselves guilty of this. So let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. If you're watching on SoundCloud, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. So that is our first story. Now to our second story, which is a lot more exciting. It's not a bunch of legal jargon words like, oh, patents and suing and plaintiffs and, you know, legal jargon. This is more fun news. Animal Crossing got 3 updates in a week, which is unusual for Nintendo. Now, when I first read this headline, I'm like, why is that unusual for Animal Crossing at 3 updates in a week? That seems kind of like, whatever, like in video games, especially nowadays. Let me just grab some water really quickly. They say it's, usually in the gaming industry, like Fortnite, I don't know, like Halo, Overwatch or whatever it is, they usually get multiple updates within a week, like patch notes, fixing bugs and stuff. Like, that's not really like big news. That's just kind of like customary in the industry. And then I realized it was Nintendo we're talking about here. This is not EA. This isn't Activision. This isn't Blizzard. This isn't any other company in the world that, when it comes to a player-driven game or a multiplayer-driven game where the experience matters in a multiplayer setting, like, Nintendo doesn't update their games often. Like, they do not. I would say before Animal Crossing, their most updated game based off frequency was probably Smash Bros. Ultimate or Smash Bros. For the Nintendo Wii U back in the day. And that was probably once every 3 or 4 months. So not even too often. Like, you want to look at other games like Splatoon or Mario Kart, like maybe not Splatoon, I can't speak from Splatoon's behalf because I don't play the game that much, but for Mario Kart 8, like that game got updated like once every 6 months or once a year, and that's it. It's still getting updates, but it's like very small updates, like, oh, like the Toy-Con can now work with Mario Kart. Like, you don't see Nintendo updating their stuff that often. But anyways, let's get right into it. So Animal Crossing New Horizons came out on March 20th, and the game's first patch went live 6 days later. Since then, we've gotten two more updates, bringing us to the latest one on Friday, version 1.1.3. We fixed a critical bug where balloons stopped generating after 300 of them were popped. Three updates in about 8 days is the type of pace that only games like Fortnite keep up, and not the sort of thing you expect from Nintendo. Like I said, Fortnite, big games like that, they update like, you know, once, twice, three times a month, and Nintendo does not do that, so it's kind of a surprise. Most of the new Horizon updates have been fixes, such as eliminating a duplication glitch and undoing an issue where housing plots become unusable. There was, however, one immediate content update which brought with it a 12-day Bunny Day celebration that gives players an extended scavenger hunt along with new cherry blossom items. And then the article goes on to say, for comparison's sake, Pokemon Sword and Shield, another recent third-party Nintendo title, has only gotten two patches since November's release. Their raids are set to change periodically. So basically, in Pokemon arguably is a bigger game than Animal Crossing, but Animal Crossing is slowly taking that away from Pokemon in terms of popularity. That game, Pokemon, has only gone two patches since its release, when Animal Crossing has gone in three patches in within a week, or maybe a week and a half. So that is entirely, like, that's shocking. And then it also goes on to say, like, Splatoon, Smash Bros., and Mario Kart, that multiplayer games that live and die based on support, they don't get those updates like Animal Crossing has been getting. So I think that's it. Like, that's basically it by the article. It mentions that you need, and it requires an internet connection to participate in the seasonal events, which is kind of like a no shit Sherlock. You need the internet in order to get these updates. And that's it. So this is a very surprising thing and a very good thing when it comes to, like, I guess the company Nintendo, because again, they're not known for updating their games, especially games where it's multiplayer games based. Sorry about that. And they live and die by the updates. Like, and it's not even like the type of, like, the quality of the updates, because, you know, certain games you'll have a bad update and it kills the entire player base. It's the frequency too. You want to make sure that you're keeping up with the community, that you're listening to the fans and people who are playing your game, so you can keep on, you know, collecting more revenue for the game, and, you know, you're keeping people engaged in the game itself, and you're, and by doing so, you're saying to people who are want to buy the game, prospective buyers, like, oh, look, this game is still getting updated a year later, and it's pretty, like, frequent too. It's once a month or once every 3 weeks. Like, okay, I'll buy the game now because this game is getting updates, like, constantly. So that means this game is not going to die any soon, and by virtue, the community isn't going to die anytime soon because the company's still supporting it and the fans are still supporting it, so I'll buy it now. So I think Nintendo's doing a great idea. They're keeping momentum strong with the strong sales this game has been getting from the start, which I didn't believe it would be as successful as it has been. I knew it would be successful with like the core Nintendo fan base, but it's even attracting fans who not, or people, or gamers, or gamers, or people who don't even play Animal Crossing in the first place. Like, this is their first Animal Crossing game, and they're enjoying it, and Nintendo's noticing that, and they're like, listen, like, we got to keep on rolling updates for this game, because if we don't, those people will get bored and they won't become adopters of the franchise. So what Nintendo is doing is a very good and smart idea. So good shit on them. I know a lot of people say, oh, Fire Bros is often negative about the company. I am, but when they do something right like this and they're actually going on with the trend and they're doing the right thing, I applaud them. I really do applaud them for doing this. And I hope that the company keeps on making these right decisions, because it will only make them better as a company. It'll make people respect them more. Third story. So I found this on a news article website. I forget which source it was. There's a bunch of different sources that said that Nintendo was getting a sale, or like a spring sale for the eShop. And I was like, you know what, instead of reading the article, let's look at the games that they have on sale. I feel like that'd be way more interesting to both watch and listen. So there's a bunch of sales going on the eShop, and it's not specific to one company or one genre. It's a bunch of different kinds of sales, and they're mostly ending on the same date. There's different start dates for all these, like, for example, the NIS American Hidden Gem Sale, which consists of games such as Fallen Legions, anything that's familiar? Not really. Penny Punching Princess, Happy Birthdays. Not a lot of these games don't sound familiar to me, but this sale is starting from March 27th, so it already started, up until April 5th, so it ends in 2 days. So Earthlock Cozy Sale starts on the 31st, ends on the 13th. But point being, there's a ton of sales, like ton of different sales going on, but it's essentially a Steam sale, except the prices aren't slashed as much, and also it's a bunch of mini sales that are going on as opposed to one giant sale that's going on. But I'll go over each and every kind of sale that's been going on. That's not sounding like a word anymore, but anyways, let's get into it. So the Earthlock Cozy Sale, so this is a game apparently, celebrating 2 years on being on the Switch. What better way to celebrate than by cozying up to a good old RPG 80% off? So that is a Steam sale-esque sale. Even though I said the prices weren't going to be as generous as a Steam sale, like 80% off is pretty fucking impressive. Like, good shit. Like, if you're into old style RPGs, I guess give it a look. Earthlock Cozy. I think that's what the game is called, Earthlock Cozy. So look it up on YouTube, look at the reviews, see if it's your cup of tea, and if you like it, buy it, because the sale will end on April 13th. Shovel Knight Treasure Trove Sale. Now this is a sale that I can get under. Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, $27.99 for the Nintendo Switch, $20.99 for the Nintendo 3DS, and then $27.99 for the Wii U. Damn, I did not even know that the Wii U was still getting support when it came to like sales for the eShop, but I guess it is. And the reason I'm assuming that it's still getting support is because of, I would assume, Latinx countries and like South American countries, where they're behind the generations and they can't really afford the newer consoles, so they stick with the last generation's consoles, which is, I guess, the Wii U. Because I know the PS2 was a really popular thing in like South America for the longest time, and so was the Wii. So like, they don't really buy the newest thing immediately. They're always kind of behind. So maybe that's why they're still supporting the Wii U for those smaller regions. The Jackbox game Spring Has Sprung Sale. Now this comes with all the party packs. Actually, no, that is not true. Party pack 1, 4, 5, and 6, all with varying prices. The newer the game, the more expensive it is. But party pack 6, $20.99, pack 5, $19.49, party pack 4, $14.99, and then the first party pack, which is a really good deal, basically half off, $12.49. So you're getting a pretty good deal for each of those games. Torchlight 2 Spring Sale, that's another game. The 505 Spring Sale. So this is, I'm assuming, I don't even know what 505 Spring has sprung. We observed some blooming great deals, 50% off in the 505 Spring Sale. Now these games are all 50% off. Some games look very familiar. Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. That's $27.99 right now. 50% off, like I said, like for this kind of sale. Terraria is half off. It was $40. Now it's $20. Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is now $10. Zumba Burn It, if you're into exercise, I doubt you are. Oh, I know you're into exercise. I know people are into exercise. I love lifting weights, but like, Zumba isn't my cup of tea. I think it's more of a female thing. I think it is. I've never seen a guy doing Zumba before. Hey, if they have, I got no problem with it. I got no problem at all. I just don't think it's kind of a guy thing to do, I guess. I don't know. I'd never seen it before. I'm open to trying it out, though. Let me know how Zumba is, because I don't know what a Zumba is anyways. So it's now $27.99. Last day of June, that is $9.99. Abzu is $13.99. There is the Spark Light Springtime Sale, which is just another game. Golf Story Tea Time Sale, that's just another game. Devolver Spring Sale. Now this has a bunch of games. Save up to 75% on select Devolver titles for a limited time. So these are all from Devolver. I'm going to see if I can notice any. Broforce, I played that game before on the PS4. It's not on the Switch. It's only $3.74, and I guess for that price, I think it's worth it. Like, I played it. It's a really solid, like, game. So I would buy it. There's Heave Ho, which I played at PAX East. It's really fun. It's a fun party game, co-op kind of game. Hotline Miami Collection. This was originally $25. Now it's $12.49, which is very impressive. I might get that. That is a kind. That's the game I've been hearing about all my life, and I've never tried it before. I know it's a top-down kind of game, and it looks fun. And it's, now it's only $12, and like that's a in. That's a collection too. So like, if I were to check this out right now, if I click on it, I gotta verify my 1022. With nope, 1986. Why not? Does it tell you what kind of games it comes with? Both. So it's two games. I'm assuming it says both games. So it's two games for $12, and both of them have either a cult following or they're just really popular just in general. So I might check. I might buy it. That's a good deal. $12.49 for two games are really good. My friend Pedro, I've heard of that game. I played that at PAX East. It was pretty decent. Reigns, Kings and Queens, Game of Thrones is now $2. If you want to get a quick thrills kind of game, I guess that's your kind of game because $2 is cheap. The Messenger, The Red Strings Club, and The Swords of Ditto, Mormo's Curse is $7.49. The Blizzard sale, which is a Diablo 3 50% off. So if you're a Diablo kind of guy, I never tried it. I bought it for my PS3, but I never got into it at all. I played it once for like 15 minutes and that's it. But I might try it out again sometime. That's 50% off. Shining Spring sale. This comes with a bunch of games that I haven't seen before, but I'll say it anyways. The Tourist, Fast RMX, and Art of Balance. The WB Game Spring Sale, the Warner Brothers sale. Now, this is a kind of company that you might know a lot of games from. So, mostly Lego games. Lego Harry Potter, The Incredibles, Lego Worlds, Lego City Undercover, Lego DC Super Villains, Jurassic World, Marvel Super Heroes 2, Ninjago, and then the Lego Movie 2 video game. I remember when there was like one Lego game and it was Lego Star Wars, and now there's like 50 Lego games, and that's a great thing. Like, honestly, I wish I was a kid still, because like, or at least I was born in this era, like, or like a kid in this era, because then I would be able to play all these cool Lego games. And I only had, I guess, Lego Star Wars and then Lego Indiana Jones, and that's it. And then I guess Lego Batman came along later on in my life, but I was kind of too old for Lego. Like, I was kind of growing up, and like, it just wasn't my cup. It just, like, I was growing out of it. But aside from Lego games, you got Cars 3, Driven to Win, Mortal Kombat 11, which is only $23.99. If you want a good, like, I'm not sure if it's a great fighting game, but, like, it definitely isn't terrible. It's $23.99 right now when it was originally $60. So, like, you are saving an arm and leg if you want to try out a fighter, especially if you're interested in Mortal Kombat. $23.99, that's a solid deal. And then finally, there's Scribblenauts Mega Pack and Scribblenauts Showdown. Both were $40 originally, and now they're slashed down to $16 exactly, or $15.99 to be exactamento. The KOEI Tecmo Spring Sale. There we go, Tecmo. That's something I can pronounce. It looks like a bunch of Japanese games that I don't know, but Dynasty Warriors sounds familiar, so if you want to buy that, it was $40, now it's $28, and the rest of them, a bunch of Japanese games, not my kind of cup of tea. Bastion and Transistor. Bastion sounds familiar, and know why? Because it's a really famous indie game, and right now it's only $3. It's $3 to buy Bastion, so if you want to buy Bastion, now is the time to do it. It was $15, now it's $2. It's this game and Hotline Miami that has caught my interest. It piqued my interest. These prices are slashed, and they're both really good games, so I might check them out. Team 17 Spring Sale, but god damn it, they don't have Yooka-Laylee, which I want to try out. I know it was disappointing for a lot of people, but I at least want to give it a shot. It's not here. It's on the picture, as you can see on YouTube and Twitch, but like, it's not on the included games list. They have the Escapist 1 and 2, and that's it. So, that's kind of a bummer. Toad Productions Spring Sale. I guess another series. Activision Spring Sale. the Insane Trilogy, Crash Team Nitro Fueled, and Spyro Reignited Trilogy. All three really good games. CTR, Crash Team Racing, the online sucks. It's not even a Switch problem. Like it's not a Nintendo exclusive problem. It sucks on the Switch and the PS4 and even on the Xbox One if it's even on that system, which I don't think it is, but I might be wrong on that. The server sucks. Like, Beanox is, they don't know how to run servers at all. Like, it's just the online is not that great, and it kind of kills it for me. But overall, though, for Crash Team Racing, the single-player mode is awesome. If you find a good community of people to play with, Crash Team Racing is so fun to play. And arguably, I would say it's better than Mario Kart when it comes to, like, core gameplay. It's way more rigid and tight and more advanced. So, like, I would recommend playing it. So, it was $40. Now, it's $23.99. Spyro Reignited Trilogy was $39.99. Now, it's $19.99. And then, Insane Trilogy, like I said, is $19.99. Was $39.99. So, all three of those games are decent sale. And then, the rest of these games are just under $10. And I won't go into it because there's a lot. There is. I would be here all night telling you all these games are on sale, whether they're good or bad. Who knows? But that's basically it for the sale. And that's a lot. So from Activision to the good indie games are on sale, to the Warner Brothers games are on sale, to Diablo 3, to just a bunch of games. Terraria, Jackbox, Shovel Knight. There is a ton of stuff for the sale, and most of it ends on the 13th. Actually, that's not even true. A lot of them are, it's random, honestly. You got some ending on the 5th, some ending on the 13th, a lot of them ending on the 19th, some ending on the 16th, just a lot of one ending on the 12th. Just like, I guess within that range of like the 6th up until the 19th, just if you have the money and you want to try out a game that you couldn't try out beforehand because A, you didn't have the money, or B, you thought the price wasn't worth buying for the game, like it was just too expensive for the quality that they were putting out, now it's a good time to buy it. It's on sale. I would definitely do it. So, and like I said, I'm looking at Bastion, I'm looking at Hotline Miami, because those games are on sale right now, and they are over 50% off, and they look, I've always wanted to play them, but I've always considered them too expensive. So, these kind of sales are the perfect times where it's like, if you don't believe you should buy a game at full price because it's not good enough to be bought at full price, or you're just not interested enough to buy it at that price for whatever reason it may be, buy it now. And that's going to do it for me. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Like I said, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and that's it for like podcast listening. But when it comes to videos, like I said, I'm live every Friday, Monday, and Saturday night. I'm not sure why I said it in that order, but Monday, Friday, Saturday night from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's when this segment starts. But afterwards at 9:30, going up until 12 o'clock at midnight, we'll be playing Smash Bros. We play Mario Kart, Splatoon, whatever it is, and whatever the multiplayer Nintendo game is, we'll play it. And then we also look at funny memes, we look at funny Nintendo videos, Smash Bros. Compilations, all that cool jazz. And then, yeah. So watch me on Twitch at FireBro17, or hit up the VODs at BrawlMaster334. Once again, thanks for listening, guys. It means the world to me. And for the rest of you guys out there, I'll be right back. But for those who are listening to me, hope you guys enjoyed it, and have a great night.